Good morning again, everyone. It is so good to be with you. I've never had the opportunity to worship with you before, and I want you to know that you're such a wonderful group of people, and I thank you for the opportunity of allowing me to come and talk about Heritage Christian University and just to get to know you, and especially during this hour to have an opportunity to preach the gospel. Beware that I always keep this stopwatch running on my phone. If you see me looking at my phone, I'm not expecting a message, but it's for your benefit. And if you see that I'm not looking at it, if you'll just kind of nod your head down, then I will try to look at it. We know that in the troubled times that we are in fact, the first thing that most people think about today when you talk about troubling times is you talk about the COVID situation that is going on in our country, and it is tremendously bad in so many ways. It's not the only thing, unfortunately, that is bad in our world. There are things that are going on in other countries, and unfortunately, other things in our country, in the United States, that are very troubling, that are very disturbing. And it's possible, if we're not careful, even as Christians, to allow us to, for it to cause us a deterioration spiritually, to cause us to lose our joy as a child of God. We never want that. We never want to lose the joy that we have in Christ, the assurance of knowing that God is with us every day. In fact, isn't it true that our assurance is what sustains us? It helps us through every walk of life. It helps us to keep moving at times when we don't feel that we have the courage or the strength. That it enables us to be able to be strong when we need to be strong for others. And so the blessings of being a Christian are innumerable. But at the same time, there are those that unfortunately walk back in their faith and their relationship with God. When I was growing up, I was often told that assurance was one of those things that we can only hope for. That assurance was one of those things that it was too presumptuous of me to say that I know that when I pass from this world that I'll have a place with God. Because I can only hope that I have that. This past week, I had a FaceTime message with my mother-in-law, who is a faithful Christian, and she's in Augusta, Georgia this morning, and has been suffering in intensive care for the last 9 months due to an automobile accident. And in those 9 months, she's been completely paralyzed, barely able to even shake her head and nod or even get a smile. And I know that she's battled and fought because she's wanted to live for us and for everyone else. And finally, it's reached this point where we're beginning to tell her it's okay to not have to fight that battle. And when I was FaceTiming with her, with my wife, I don't know how much she understood. But I told her, I said, you know, based on everything the Bible says about your life and about God's promise and Jesus' death on the cross, I believe with all of my heart that you're going to have a life in heaven for eternity. And so it's okay to stop fighting and struggling for us. And that was one of the hardest conversations I've ever had in my whole life. And I led a prayer in tears after that. But the thing that made my heart smile is to know that one day, no matter what happens, because she may outlive me yet. We just don't know. We don't know what happens in life, that we have that assurance that we can be together again. That is something that the world will not give you. That is something that the world and any situation, in any venue, will never give us. Only God. And it is a blessing of being a Christian to know that even in the most difficult times in our lives and the battles that we fight, that we have this ever-abiding relationship with God that will sustain us, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And it will give us a reward that is greater than any reward possible. When Jesus walked the face of the earth in his personal ministry, and if you will, turn with me to the book of John chapter 15. I wish I could read all the verses here, but in a very familiar way, we know that in chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus starts talking about the true vine. He's the true vine. He said, you're the branches. And as a branch, you're expected to bear fruit. He said, a branch that doesn't bear fruit is pruned. It's taken away. It's burned. And then he goes on in verse 9 to say, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus is essentially saying, if you will be faithful to me and put your love for the Lord and for me greater than anything else, that it will be the dominating factor in your life. He says in verse 11 that I've given and spoken these things to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Notice that expression. It's an expression that sometimes we glaze over very easily in this reading. He says that your joy may be full. And what the Lord is, at least part of what the Lord is saying there, is that you have something that cannot be taken away from you unless you surrender it. You will have an assurance. You will have that relationship with me. As Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And so we know very easily that we have this unspeakable joy in Christ. But have you ever heard that expression before? Anywhere else in the Bible? That your joy may be full. We probably have. Look at the book of 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, there was a great problem that our brethren were facing then. And it was the problem of Gnosticism. Now, some people read John 1, and they think, yes, and truly, it is a book about love. In fact, inspiration uses that word about 50 times, 51 maybe, to be precise, in the book of 1 John. But there's another word that stands out almost as much as the word love in that book, and that is the word know, K-N-O-W. And if you want a great study of the book of the Gospel of John, you read the Gospel of John, and you read the book of 1 John, and you go back and read the book of the Gospel of John again, and you will see so many things that are found in 1 John that not only is, I believe, is John writing by inspiration, but by memory of what Jesus had said. And so these Gnostics were saying that to the brethren, well, you know, this thing of Jesus coming in the fleshly body and dying on the cross and being raised from the third day, it really didn't happen. not in a bodily form, because they believed that Gnostics did, that anything that had any part of the flesh was evil. And so therefore, divinity could not dwell in a flesh, actual flesh and blood body. And there were a lot of other teachings the Gnostics had. Some of the Gnostics even taught that the Christ came down and dwelt in the body of a man, Jesus, and then before the death on the cross, he ascended back to be with the Lord. And you and I know that's not the case today. But you imagine early Christians who perhaps did not have a ready collection of the Bible as we have today. And their life, their family members, some of them have suffered and died because they believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And that Jesus came from heaven, God in the flesh, and was, as the book of Hebrews says, was tested and tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Well, my mom and dad gave their life for Christ, for this faith, this new faith that I have. What if the Gnostics are right? That could be pretty troubling, couldn't it? Well, I don't see too many Gnostics around, not in the church at least. But there are a lot of other things that can discourage us, take away our joy. But read with me in chapter 1. Time's getting away. In chapter 1 of the book of 1 John, John said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you," and listen to this expression, "that you may have fellowship one with another, and truly our fellowship is with God, and with the Father, and with His and Father, and with His Son Jesus Christ." And here it comes, verse 4. "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." I know that when John wrote those words, he had to have remembered Jesus saying them in John 15. That if I will commit myself to Christ and love the Lord, then nothing has to conquer me in this life and take away my salvation. John says here, Jesus was real. He wasn't a figment of our imagination. We saw Him with our eyes. We heard Him with our ears. We touched Him with our hands. Our hands have handled the word of life. But He said, but don't just take our word for it. You know, we bear witness of it as the apostles. We bear witness that this happened. And then in verse 5, he said, if you truly want to know the right message, don't listen to the Gnostics. Because John says, this is the message which we have seen and heard of Him and declare to you. And the first point that he makes here is that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Earlier, when I spoke about the evil that's in the world, imagine with me, if you will, for just a moment, that we have a room over here, and it's this room of darkness. It is the room where evil reigns. It is the room that influences people to sin. There's nothing good in there. There's nothing holy, nothing righteous. Only discouragement and heartache and heartbreak. You come up with every descriptive term you can that's not good, and it's there. But you know what happened? When I came to the point where God held me accountable for sin, that's where I found myself. Because this evolution of sin that James speaks of in James 1, 13 through 16, that I'm tempted and drawn away, and that temptation leads me to sin, and by my lusting after it, and that sin leads to death. The death that Paul spoke of in Romans 6, 23, when he says, that's the wages of sin, it's death. Well, that's where I found myself. And if I had stayed there, if you had stayed there, what kind of promises would you find? Because God does not live there. Oh, you say, well, God's everywhere. You understand what I'm saying in a figurative way. But as the Bible says, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that calls us out of that room. It is God's word preached and taught and studied by us that allows an evolution to take place in our life. And I remember the night that I obeyed the gospel almost as clearly as I did last night. I remember I was at a gospel meeting attending as a young boy on August the 20th. 1970, I made the decision to be baptized into Christ. That is the greatest day of my life. I've had a lot of great days since then, but that was the greatest day of my life. You know why? Because I left this room of darkness forever. Oh, now I'm not being so presumptuous to say that I could never fall away, but I'm saying that while, yes, we do sin, I've never had to live in that room of darkness again. In Colossians 1, notice what Paul says there in verse 13. Paul says that we have been translated, transformed out of darkness, that is, by the power of God, into what? The kingdom of His dear Son. That's the room of light. If you look back at John 8 and verse 12, notice what Jesus says concerning His light that He brings to us. In John 8, 12, He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God is light. And walking in that light gives me hope, assurance, and every good thing that could ever happen to me, truly good things, will come from walking in the light of God and in Christ. And that when my life ends in this world, that's where I want to leave this world from, is that room of light. Because Jesus says that's where I am. We only survive today physically because the sun in the air, in the universe is shining. It's burning. It is the life-giving source to this planet in that sense. And if God were to take that away, the earth would burn, disintegrate. We know there is a time when the earth will pass away. I don't know other than what Scripture says, what the Lord will do. The trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise, and we will, as Christians, rise to meet him in the air, and there will be the day of judgment, and we'll stand before that righteous judge that says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my Lord, of your Lord." And then unfortunately, those that have done evil, that have chosen to live in this room of darkness, it is our decision today which place we depart from in this world and where we live and occupy our life. And I can assure you that if you live in this room of light, if you're not there, it'll make life look a lot different. And it has in so many ways and in so many opportunities in my life where things didn't look good. It didn't look good at all, not for my family, even as it does now. But no matter what critical situation happened, I was able, and my family was able to thrive and survive because of the blessings of being in this room of light. Notice, as John continues here, he says, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness." He said in verse 6, he said, "We say if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." We can't have it both ways. We can't take what the devil offers and think to receive the blessings of what God's offering. You can't have them. Jesus said it's impossible to serve two masters. You'll either love the one and hate the other, or else hold to one and despise the other. So we own one of those this morning. And if you go back up to what John said, and we don't have time to get into it in an in-depth way, but look in verse 3 where he said, "I'm declaring this to you that you will have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." You and I are able to enjoy fellowship today with each other, spiritual fellowship today with each other, because we first of all have fellowship with God. And when you think about it, even in just the in one sense, I would perhaps never have known you and have seen you in my life if it were not for my association of living in this room of light where you are. And so whether it be the blessings of the world to come or the blessings that are here now, they come through Christ and our fellowship with him. But then notice verse 7. He said, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have this fellowship one with another. And the second thing we have," he says, "that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us of all sin." See, when I left that room of darkness way back when I came into this room of light where God was and walking in the light, did that mean that I would never sin again? No. I don't know how many sins I've sinned, more than I'd like to think about, no doubt. Every now and then in a personal Bible study, I'll have someone asking when we begin discussing the plan of salvation and the blood of Christ and the salvation that Christ offers, someone says, "Now, if I'm baptized, does that mean that I need to, every time I sin, come back to the baptistry?" Well, imagine if that were the case, we couldn't even lock our church buildings. The carpet would be all mold filled in the back. And we'd spend all of our days baptizing. No, when we come in contact with the blood of Christ, as Paul said to the Galatian brethren, that we put him on in Christ. Revelation 1 and verse 5 says that the Lord has washed us together from our sins in His own blood. And there in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, we indeed have put Christ on in baptism. We have found redemption through the blood of Christ. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, very familiar passage. Paul lists all sin is bad. There's no little sins and big sins. Yes, there are some sins that may carry greater consequences and hurt and heartbreak in this world than others do, committed against other people. But Paul mentions some of the worst here in chapter 6, verse 9. But the great part of it here is Paul says, but such were some of you. Some of you as Christians, that was you. That described who you were, the condition you were in. He said, but now you have been washed, verse 11. Sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul says, walking in the line of the gospel, in the blood of Christ. Here, chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of John says that it keeps on washing away our sin. If we will continue to walk in that light. But he goes on to say, but if we say we have no sin, he said we're lying to ourselves. The truth is not in us. I used to read those verses and think, oh, he's only talking about people who've never obeyed the gospel. No, the context here is he's talking about people who have perhaps obeyed the gospel but reached a point where they believe they don't need the blood of Christ anymore. They don't need the room of light anymore. And he said, if you do, you're lying to yourself. You see, in order for us to leave this room of light, it begins with us telling ourselves a lie long before we ever tell a lie to anyone else. That we're the exception. That we are the ones that can do this and it won't work out the way it has with others, or that it'll be okay and that I can step over for a moment and come back again and again and never endanger my relationship with God. John said it can't be done. And pretty soon the lie that we tell ourselves is the lie that is brought not only before others, but is immediately brought before God. And that's when I have cast aside my salvation. Will we sin as Christians? Yes. And as someone said a long time ago, that there is, and I would never forget the first time I heard it, someone said there's a difference between lost sinners and saved sinners. Lost sinners are those who would be over here. And the saved sinners are those of us who are walking in the light, having the blood of Christ to cleanse us of our sins. And as you know, as I know this morning, my time is well gone. If you're not in that room of light today, you need, maybe you've been thinking about it for a while, to surrender your life to Christ, to, by faith, repenting of your sins and confessing Jesus as the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism, to come in contact with that blood so that you will be in that room of light, and that when you sin again, the blood of Christ is going to be there and you're going to have that penitent heart that confesses again and again and again your need for God. or it could be today, that you remember how great it was to live in this room of light. If you've let yourself go back to where you began, there's an opportunity to get out of there and recommit your life to God. If we can help you with your walk, with your relationship, with your light, with your forgiveness, with your assurance, just remember as we sing this song, Jesus says, I've spoken these things to you that your joy may be full. If you've lost your joy today, why not come and get it? Because God's offering it. Please come together today while we stand and while we sing.